Welcome back to the Wolf Life Show. This is part two of our conversation with Andrew Muse. I highly recommend to not just jump into part two, but please listen to part one. Andrew has an incredible story where he had his soulmate in his golden retriever, which he lost through absolutely tragic and devastating conditions. And he chats about how the community of Park City rallied behind him, and just so many things that were absolutely incredible came together to get him to a place where he could open up his heart again and consider getting another dog. That dog's name is Kicker, and they have so much fun, and I will let Andrew take it away.
After the car accident, I can kind of segue into how Kicker came into my life, which is a pretty wild story, as these pieces of the puzzle had kind of come back. You know, the community of Park City came together, and, you know, people were like, hey, man, I have an extra vehicle. Here's a truck until you get back on your feet. And then I had a friend who had a condo that was being remodeled that I could stay in. So it was kind of in this, like, if you've ever seen the show Dexter, there was like plastic over everything, but the bedroom wasn't covered in plastic. So I lived in a Dexter kill lab for a few months as this place is being torn apart. But I had a place to stay. I had a car. I had like Lululemon had given me clothes because I had always gone to free yoga with Booter, and Booter had kind of become this like well-known, you know, pup that would just kind of sleep by my side while I'd do yoga in the park with everybody. So it was really crazy to go from, you know, the most incredible high of my in life to the lowest low, to this, the community of people that, you know, I had met, and some people I hadn't even met that had just been following along that wanted to help see us get back on our feet and help us, you know, continue to do what we were doing was really incredible, because I have very much so been on my own for my entire life and have never really expected much from anybody.
Yeah.
So to kind of be in a situation where, one, I needed help, you know, there was no way I would have really been able to get back on my feet without the help of the community and the people around me. And then just the amount of support and love and inspiration that we got from everyone around us was amazing. So, anyways, all these pieces of the puzzle started to come back together, and I had stayed in contact with Paul, the firefighter.
Okay.
And, you know, he'd call me and check on me, and, you know, and this was over the course of weeks. We'd probably had, you know, 5 or 6 phone calls, and he'd watched all of, you know, season one that had been released, and calls me up randomly one day, and he's like, hey, man, like, you know, I'm glad to see you. Things are going well. Your life's coming back together. I have a really, really interesting opportunity for you, but I want to tell you a story first. So he kind of gets into the story about how he tragically lost his first and, you know, the most incredible dog he had ever known when he was about my age. I won't get into the story, but
okay.
It was pretty relatable. He had lost a dog when he was my age to some very tragic circumstances. And now he and his family breed Goldens and Golden Doodles.
Oh,
and
wow.
And that when I was ready, they would like to offer me, you know, pick of the litter. And I was like, you know, kind of blown away and definitely hadn't thought about the prospect of, you know, getting another dog. I was, you know, and what dog could compare to Booter in my eyes?
Completely.
So they had a litter of golden doodles, and as I said early on, like, I really hate it when people get dogs when they don't have the lifestyle to give that dog the best life, right?
I
Like,
completely agree. Yeah.
if you're gonna have a dog, you need to have your life set up in a way that you can give that dog a life it needs. That's, the exercise, that's, high quality food, that's love, that's time, that's training. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't at that point. I was still living in my friend's condo. I didn't have a car of my own. I didn't know what I was going to be doing for work yet. I had the opportunity to work for the US ski team as their video coordinator.
Oh,
But
wow.
I was hoping, that this season two thing was still in the cards, and I just wasn't there. So that I had to, although, the puppies were incredible, they're just beautiful dogs, and I just wasn't in a place to give a dog that, a life that I think dogs deserve. So
Yeah.
I turned that down, and had some meetings scheduled with some of my sponsors for season one and that I had been working with over the last few years. So Rossignol, which they make skis and snowboard, I
Yep.
was an athlete for them, and I was like, hey, like, you guys helped out with season one, which was a pilot series, and their investment was pretty minimal, helped offset some costs, but wasn't, season one wasn't sustainable.
Got it.
It's just me going for it. And then Maverick, which is like this big adventures first stop gas station in Utah. And I met with them and I was like, hey, like, here's what it would take for this to be sustainable and for me to turn job down this other job opportunity.
Interesting. Okay.
Met with them and they're like, well, we'll do 75% of that. In exchange for whatever deliverables and, sponsorship of season two. And but you can bring on whatever other sponsors you want to help supplement that. And then I met with Rossignol and these other brands and kind of had reached that, okay, if I can make X amount of dollars this year, then I could potentially do a season two. And then a few weeks after that, GoPro reached out and said, hey, we've been following along. We love your content. Like, we want to pick up season two, which to me was a total dream come true, right? Like,
Yeah.
GoPro is the brand that does all these super cool things to such a high level, and it's the camera gear that I love and I use. So I was kind of able to rebuild and to be like, okay, well, this is possible. Maybe my life can come back together and I can do this season two. And I still wasn't, it wasn't certain.
Yeah.
Wasn't like, okay, everything's fine. I still had, the looming bill as far as what I would have to pay for the damage done to the 18-wheeler, and just still trying to pick up the pieces of my kind of shattered life. And anyways, Paul's family had a litter of goldens this time, and it had just kind of all come together, right?
Yeah.
Like, Maverick had also said they would help me get a new vehicle. So I searched around and found this van that had 300,000 miles on it, but looked brand new, and was able to get this new vehicle. I had, a little bit of money from the brands that had come in, and also the donations from people that had donated in hopes that I would rebuild and do a season two. So I utilized, a lot of that money just to, like, get clothes back, on my back in this new
Yeah.
vehicle. So anyways, yeah, that's sort of how everything went from rock bottom to, like, a livable, being able to see, okay, maybe this life is worth trying to live
Yeah,
again.
of course. It sounds like the universe really kind of beautifully came together to look after you.
Totally. I am beyond thankful for all the people who, donated and who cared about Booter and I and our story, and who continued to give us love and support and inspiration to, be able to work super hard and live this kind of dream lifestyle. Like, as you're saying, we have this beautiful Instagram and our life looks like unicorns and rainbows all the time, but we work so hard for it.
Yeah.
And, it's not just fun and adventure and games, but we really do put our everything we have into creating really fun, inspiring, loving, beautiful content.
Yeah,
So.
I really do think that it comes across because it's so funny. I've never met you. I've only talked to you in email, but I feel like I know you just even before we started this interview because I think you come across so relatable and there's
Thanks.
something so approachable about the content that you create, which is
Thank
great.
you. Yeah, that's kind of what we're going for, do all this fun, super cool stuff, but at a level that people can sort of relate to, and hopefully inspire them to like get out with their dogs or their family or by themselves and kind of experience, whether it's nature or a new sport or new activity on their own.
Yeah, of course. And so when it came to, I know that Kicker was a part of that golden litter. So what was it? Because I also have to imagine you must have been nervous because a puppy that you're picking has to really fit your lifestyle. So it has to be a really go with the flow type of puppy, has to be okay with cold, with the snow, all of those kind of things. So how did you kind of approach when you were picking to determine who was going to kind of be your next, I'll say life partner because I do feel like that's what picking a dog is.
Absolutely. So I mean the thought of getting a new dog was terrifying, right? Like the relationship I had built with Booter was beyond what I thought possible, or beyond the idealistic dream relationship, dream dog that I had ever imagined.
Yeah.
So how could a dog follow that up, and how could I not have some sort of like lingering resentment? It was sort of my first thought. I was like,
Oh,
this is
interesting.
gonna be, dogs range on a massive spectrum as far as their personalities and their ability levels and their they're just dogs are so different, like wildly different from one another. I had met with Paul and his family and tried to mentally say, hey, like if I'm gonna do this, I need to like start on a clean slate. Like this dog needs to be given a fair, chance to be itself
Yeah.
and, not judge it. But it was definitely something I had to like mindfully go into the situation with, and it was, I was, like you said, just super worried that, maybe I got this dog and it hated the snow or hated the water, or like got car sick, or was just a total Tasmanian devil or whatever. So I went and met with Paul and his family. So they're Red Canaan retrievers, and Copper Canyon Doodles are their, their
Got it.
breeder businesses. And I mean, just the nicest, most loving people I've probably ever met. Like they are just incredibly kind. And I went, and it was like the day after Thanksgiving or something, and I hung out with the puppies for I think 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
And with Booter, it was so easy. We went and showed up at this lady's house, and Booter was honestly the cheapest golden retriever we could find. And like he was an unbelievable dog. His coat was beautiful. He could roll in mud and be gross and disgusting, dry off, shake off twice, and people would be like, "Who just got done at the groomer?" I'm like, "You have no idea what this dog looked like 2 hours ago." And he was perfect, just like perfect health, like never any real issues, notable issues. And anyways, when I went to pick up Booter, like there was, a couple of puppies there. One was like shaking and super scared and like kind of skittish. And then there was another one that was just like a total tornado. And Booter just kind of like calm, cool, and collected, like walked up, like flopped himself on my girlfriend's lap at the time and like started like sucking her finger and like passed out in her lap. We're like, oh, like this is the one, clearly. And I go to meet, Kicker's litter, and they were all awesome. They were all super cool and very, very well mannered. And honestly, like one didn't stand out over the other. And it was an incredibly hard decision because I was like, which one of these puppies am I gonna like spend, my life with for, hopefully forever, which isn't the case, but that's how it feels.
Yeah, no, I keep trying to
And
tell the devil to take my soul so my dog could live forever. It
right,
doesn't, it's
I would
not
do
taken.
anything. I would do anything. Like every time I, either Booter or, Kicker have birthdays, or when Booter had birthdays, like it drives me nuts. I'm like, no, don't get any older, like please, no. But anyways, I did, I used to, when I ski patrolled back in Park City, I got to work with the avalanche dogs quite a bit. And that's where I learned a lot of my training. I also read like Golden Retrievers for Dummies and a few other training books. So I kind of knew some of like the testing you can do as far as like drive and stubbornness and, just like flipping them on their back and kind of just like messing with them.
Got
And they
it.
were all like really solid, options for what I was looking for. And I just kind of at the end of it, and like, they're puppies, so over the course of 5 hours they get tired, they sleep, they wake up, you kind of like see their personality right when they wake up. And eventually I just kind of decided on Kicker, and there was honestly no real distinguishing trait.
Oh, interesting.
I'm Booter, I could tell you the story and like how easy it was, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Kicker was just, I mean, all the puppies were like very, very similar, but all very well tempered for, what I wanted and what I would consider. But it was great. So we met with them when they were like 6 weeks, came back and ended up having dinner with the family. I think both times we went down there and, heard a little bit about their lives, and they were just super inspiring, loving family. And just turns out Paul, the firefighter from the car accident, him and his father are volunteer firefighters, and his father was on the scene of the accident as well. So both Paul and his dad, Paul, they're both called, Paul's Paul Jr. They were both there, and I got to hear about their story and their family, and just they're just such awesome people, and their dogs are awesome as well. Since we got Kicker, we've had people get hit, dogs from the same from Red Canyon as well, and they're all just awesome. They're great pups, so
Oh,
I'm super lucky to have,
that's so
lucked out.
sweet.
But I was gonna say, we brought Kicker home, and it had snowed, and by the time we got up to Park City, there was like 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground. And I was like, here's the test. Like, this is the puppy I chose. I chose you to be in my life. Like, we're gonna be in the snow a lot, so hopefully this goes well. So I just kind of plopped down this little golden nugget into the snow, and he kind of looks around and then just goes nuts. Just starts running around, and he's chasing his tail, and he's like
Oh, so
slipping in the snow,
cute.
and he's burying his head in the snow. And I was like, okay, like huge sigh of relief off of my soul. I was like, okay, like we're gonna get along just fine, Kicker. Like, this is gonna be great. And he was a puppy, and he's 3 and a half now, and we're still getting to that. Like, Booter, when I lost him, was about 5 and a half.
Got it.
But, we're getting to the point where, Kicker, I can kind of look at him and he knows, and I know what he needs from me. And, they're they're such similar dogs as far as their build and as far as their, you know, how they look and their personality. You know, Kicker's definitely a different dog. He's a little bit more affectionate, but also kind of a little bit more maybe mischievous. And he's definitely smellier, but he's a great dog. I think that, you know, Booter definitely, the spirit of Booter has lived on in Kicker, and we try to honor him every day. And Kicker is equally as incredible of a dog, and I'm super, super lucky to have had two of the best dogs that I could have ever asked for or dreamed of. So I'm super lucky.
So Kicker from season two, he just like what struck me as different from between Booter and Kicker is Kicker just seems like one of the guys. Like he just almost has like such a personality that
Totally.
if he like belched and farted, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. He's a character. He gets along well with everybody, and he's a good pup.
That's awesome. I also think it's interesting because I've interviewed Canadian Avalanche Rescue, and one of the his sorry, I can't talk. His name is Chilkoot. He's a golden retriever avalanche dog in Whistler, and so it was funny to hear you talk about that because I was like, oh, it sounds like you would have done some of those kind of temperament testing. So that was a question I had. But thank you for answering that. So what advice would you give for someone who they're in the grind? So a lot of my blog specializes on millennial pet owners, a lot of people that live in cities. So what advice would you give to someone to actually incorporate their pup into their adventures?
I mean, I think dogs are pretty naturally inclined to being in nature, right? Like they've got these senses and these instincts and different drives. So, I mean, getting a dog into nature and allowing a dog to be a dog, I think, is super important. I mean, you don't want your dog to just go running around chasing animals and go totally nuts. You know, there's a balance, but I think, you know, people that have never gone camping with their dogs or something like that, right? Where you just, they're gonna do fine. You know, I think a dog that's allowed to be a dog and that gets its energy out, like a tired, dirty dog is a happy, well-behaved dog, right? So, you know, I think just I don't know what advice I have, just get out there and, you know, work on, you know, come sit, stay are really the only things I prioritize. And you know, he knows how to be around people on bicycles or paragliding wings or whatever it is. But yeah, just get dogs will do just fine, being dogs, being the nature. That's what they were designed to do. So
Totally.
I don't know if I answered that question.
No. It makes sense. I think that doing even little things, going on a hike, those kind of things make a big difference in terms of, I think, dogs' mental not stability, but like just happiness. I think
Right.
that
Totally.
they get really happy. I live in LA and my dog is a Pacific Northwest dog, and it's really funny because it's the land of palm trees, but when that dog sees a stick, it's hilarious how much she lights up. Like
Right.
I'll collect them to just keep them because they're
Awesome.
kind of rare. But I would say that it's the little things and how dogs connect with nature is very simple. So ensuring that you're kind of doing those things, and then
Yeah,
getting out there.
just getting out there with your dog, integrate your dog into your life as much as possible, right? Like people always ask me, like, so did you know, take him to a trainer? Did you do this? I'm like, no, I read a couple books. I had a little bit of experience with avalanche dogs. But more so, he's just with me all the time. I bring him with me absolutely everywhere that I legally can, pretty much. And I also base a lot of my travel and adventures, I mean, most of my travel and adventures around integrating Kicker and like, oh, it's national park, so it's really not super dog friendly. So we really don't spend a lot of time at national parks because of that.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, but there's so many other super beautiful, way less busy, incredible places that we can go. So yeah, I mean, I guess my overall advice would be is just kind of plan around your dog.
Yeah.
You got this awesome thing that you should love and give the best life possible. So it's, you know, it's really not that hard and you're not compromising because I end up having a better experience when Kicker's around and Kicker gets to have, you know, the time of his life versus like, oh, I went and saw this national park and did this hike with 40,000 other people today. Like that's for me, isn't that fulfilling?
Yeah. I agree. Cause I think that there's also something in watching how your dog, interacts with nature, that there's something so incredible too. Also,
you can learn a lot from just watching a dog like stop, sit there and smell the breeze. You're like, oh, I should maybe think about doing that every now and again.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So do you ever have moments that you say to yourself, wow, like this is my life, and that just kind of completely blows you away? I know that it sounds like you have a ton of drive, but it just seems like the success and the community and everything that you've built, I would definitely have moments like where I would just be like, oh my gosh, this is incredible.
All the time, to be honest. I mean, like just being able to, I mean, from a baseline level, from like 10 years ago, being able to ski powder in Utah, like wow, like no way. I dreamt about this all my life being in, you know, Massachusetts. And now, you know, when I set off on this path, when I quit my job and set off for season one, and to look at where I was at then and where I'm at now, and to, you know, be working with the brands I'm working with and getting to live the lifestyle that I'm living, and, you know, the fact that all the time, honestly, like if you had told me, you know, a year ago that it'd be where I'm at today, or 2 years ago, you know, it's just this lifestyle choice, you know, really just the fact of just chasing my dreams and doing what I love has far exceeded what I thought possible.
Yeah.
You know, I got to travel to Japan as an athlete, with the Rossignol team and ride with some of the most legendary people that I had looked up to as a snowboarder, you know, most of my life. You know, getting to travel and do all these cool things with Kicker. We were just featured in a local Super Bowl commercial. Like, it's crazy. It's totally crazy. And, you know, right now we're sort of in the grinding phase where we're building this new vehicle. We've been working, you know, super, super, super hard for the last 8 months. I've pretty much just had this one main focus, this main drive.
Yeah.
And we're super close. We're like 3 weeks away from being, you know, pretty much complete on the road, and the work doesn't end there.
Yeah.
And now we're filming, now we're editing. But, yeah, I think once that thing's done and I can just take that first like night's sleep somewhere beautiful, not in my friend's garage, and just be like, wow, like we've worked so hard for this and we're here, and I am so grateful. I am so grateful to be able to live the life that I lead and give Kicker the life that I get to give Kicker. And, you know, now I'm traveling with my girlfriend Ashley. So yeah, I mean, had you told me 5 years ago that I'd be where I'm at right now, I would be so blown away. And it's honestly something I have to remind myself of, right? Like,
yeah,
you get caught up in it. You get caught up in the work and the grind and wanting to progress. And it's like, hold on. If yourself 5 years ago were dropped into the life you're living right now, you would be in tears of joy, just totally blown away.
Yeah.
So those days that are hard, that I'm like, man, like, this whole thing is just, it's so much work. I'm frustrated. It, you know, something happened where it didn't go my way. It's like, well, think about yourself however long ago. Like, you would be so ecstatic to live the life that I'm living. So yeah,
totally.
All the time.
Totally. And I, I wanted to take a quick break to talk about a product that is so perfect with this episode, and it's called the Spruce Pup Dog Bed. And if you are not familiar with this product, it is absolutely incredible, and I have to be honest, one of my favorite dog things that I've ever gotten. I find that when I am traveling with Pixie, it's always such a headache with the dog bed, but Pixie particularly gets nervous and needs that sense of security with a bed, so she never trusts the hotel bed that gets provided unless she's been there for a couple of days. Enter the Spruce Bed Dog Bed, and this bed is absolutely incredible because it's collapsible and it's easily transportable. And the other incredible thing is that it's completely washable, and because it zips on the sides to actually close and has handles, you can put dog toys in there and some of the other essentials for your pet upon transporting them. And it just is such an incredible product that I would really recommend for anyone who regularly travels with their pet. The other thing I love to use a spruce bed for is that if I'm going to a brewery or bringing my dog to the office, it's such an easy thing that packs up really nicely, that is compact as well to bring with you. So I highly recommend to check out the Spruce Dog Bed. They're a great company, and it's aesthetically a good-looking product. It's something I highly recommend for any traveling, adventuring, and busy pet parent that doesn't want to sacrifice style and living in an apartment. It's tough to find things that aren't super bulky, so I highly recommend this product. The other thing I think is so cool about your story, and this is I'm not name droppy at all, but I was just talking to Sophie Gamond, the dog photographer. I'm sure that you've seen her photos, the ones with the pit bulls with the flower crowns.
Yep. Totally.
Okay. Yeah. So she was basically like, she surrendered herself to say, like, all I want to do is this art that inspires me. And I think that when you surrender and realize, like, kind of listening to that internal compass that says, this is what I'm supposed to do, I do think the universe does look after you in a weird way. I think if you meet that kind of kismet, that's what you're supposed to do. And that mm-hmm. just strikes me to your guys' story, because I think that's part of the authenticity, that you're just so excited that you're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a risk. I think my strengths are, I'm willing to kind of just take a risk for the thing that makes me happy. Like, growing up in the situation I grew up in, like, I didn't really know any happy adults. Like, and that's, I mean, and my thought is, like, you probably only get to live once, so might as well do the things that are going to make me the happiest. And that path has it way exceeded my expectations. Moving out west, terrifying. Didn't know anybody, had all these kind of immediate hurdles, and it has led me to some of the best skiing and snowboarding that I could have ever dreamed of. Like, I've had some of the best days on the planet, in my opinion. Right? It doesn't get better than what I've had. So it's just, yeah, I think it's just going for it and taking that risk, and the universe will, as long as you're willing to put in, you know, hard work, positive energy, and take a little bit of risk, the universe will come back and you know, with what you need, or it probably exceed what you had expected.
Totally. Totally. So two more questions. Your girlfriend Ashley is adorable. So
thank you.
Are you guys going to be traveling as with the new Muse rumor, or like what's the kind of vision for season three, if you can share anything?
Totally. Yeah, no, it's all pretty public. So season one, we did this truck camper. I found this $500 truck camper, remodeled it. It was great. Super comfortable living situation, but not terribly off-road capable, especially on the truck it was on.
Got it.
Season two, we did this really cool 4x4 van, could go anywhere, really cool looking, but wasn't very comfortable to live in. And now I've been dating Ashley for, you know, a year and a half, and, you know, trying to look for something that's a little bit of a longer term living situation.
Got it.
And something that's still equally off-road capable. We decided to try and build an Earth Roamer equivalent vehicle, which an Earth Roamer is like, basically it's a truck camper integrated into the truck. So you don't have the cutout for the wheel wells.
Got it.
We built it custom from the ground up. So, I mean, we started from the frame, designed everything to be as efficient and as, you know, comfortable as possible. And I am delusional when it comes to timelines as far as doing these things. It's like, oh yeah, 2 months, I'll give it everything I got for 2 months, we'll be done. It's been 8 months of everything that I have to get this thing done. And we're right on the tail end of the, you know, the vehicle build. So the plan is it'll be Ashley, Kicker, and I. We've got to do some filming a little bit more locally, just trying to put together a sizzle reel.
Got it.
And we're really trying to push this series to a larger audience, whether that's working with someone like Netflix or Amazon or Travel Channel or Animal Planet. That's our big push right now, is to try and get season three in front of the largest possible audience, just to, you know, continue to grow. And we really want to up the production value, all that stuff. But the inevitable goal at the moment is to try and drive it to South America.
Oh, wow.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So we want to try and keep a similar format to where it's, you know, I don't know. We're actually open to a few different ideas as far as the season goes, but season one and two, I leaned into the things that I was already pretty good at. I had a climbing background, snowboarding, et cetera, et cetera. Season three, we want to lean more into new experiences and learning. I've never been south of San Diego. I really don't speak Spanish very well. Ashley speaks Spanish almost fluently, much, much better than I do anyways. And we really want to step outside of our comfort zone and spend a lot more time learning. So just doing things that, you know, we may have never done before. And yeah, that's sort of the dream and goal right now, is to film a season three in this incredible vehicle that out of all the things I've worked super, super hard for, this has been the most intense, the hardest.
Wow. That's incredible.
Financially, physically, emotionally, like this thing will be the most incredible thing I've ever created, the vehicle itself. So
wow.
We're pretty excited to hit the road and, yeah, get after it.
That's so cool. So the last question, if you could look like 3 years into the future, where will you and Kicker be? If you could, or what would you hope maybe in three years?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I've sort of committed myself to this creator, content creator, lifestyle. So I hope 3 to 5 years from now, Kicker and I are creating, inspiring, positive content for a much larger audience at a more sustainable level.
Yeah.
You know, me working 16 to 20 hours a day, 7 days a week isn't really sustainable. So I'd like to be able to, you know, take a little bit of a step back, maybe push off some of the editing and some of the business side of things on other people.
Yeah.
And continue to just be creating awesome content and really just living our best lives, whatever that might mean. So
that's awesome. Well, I'm so appreciative for you taking the time to talk to us. This is really, really fun. And I'm so just personally happy for you that you persevered and just, it's such an incredible story, and you should be so proud.
Thank you, Lauren. I really appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, have a good rest of your day. Keep us up to date with season 3, and I will obviously publicly share it and do everything I can to get the word out.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your time. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Perfect.
And we might be rolling through LA at some point, so we'll have to link up and get the pups together.
Awesome. Well, that would be great. Mine's quite a bitch, but she's 13.
Yeah.
So she's like she's not the most social. I adopted her at 4, and I think the border collie took over, where she's just not super social.
Sure.
But it might just be me, which is far worse, but it would be great to meet you.
Totally. That sounds great.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, and have a good one.
Thanks, Lauren. You too.
Bye.